Normally somebody introduces, but I will introduce ourselves by reading from our website's 100 Things About Casey. Just kidding. Here's the shorter version. I'm an introvert, yes, really, who lives a simple life with one dog, six cats, a few raccoons, and other wild critters. I am a student of life who has a BA from Georgia State University with training in symbolic interaction, philosophy, and religion. I would have a degree in procrastination, but I waited too long. I'd like to think of myself a philosopher poet who plays with languages, practices joys, and believes that he creates his own spherical reality. Whoops, I got ahead of myself. Let me, there we go. I got it. I joined Mountain Light on 2006, January the 22nd, and have held many positions. I am currently the communications coordinator, webmaster, data collector, president, and odd man out. Okay, just odd. Today's sermon is a revisit of my first sermon, A Celebration of Joy, originally delivered in 2002 and reworked in 2014. So after a five-year storage, I'm hoping the third time's a charm. The reason that I changed the title to Revisited is because without diligence of practice, things tend to fade. That's not to say that I ever lost my joy, but there have been times when I've not held it as firmly as I would like, even recently. Less than joyful moments had manifested, and Mr. Iyer rose from within. He broke a few dishes and he spoke some sailor speak. But because I never lost my joy, I could calm myself, clean up the mess, and wonder why I let it happen. Why did I create that reality? The answer is always different and exactly the same. Like energy attracts, and I grew lazy. From my 100 Things About Casey list, number 22. Sometimes I think that I'm growing wise and enlightened. Then I find something that one of my fur babies has left for me to clean up. After I stop shouting, I realize that I'm just an ordinary man after all, full of human flaws and emotions. And number 23, I thank God for children and small critters, since they keep us humble, and yet they let us feel like giants on occasion. It is for that reason that I revisit Celebration of Joy. It keeps me humble. And we'll keep looking. I keep reading this down there. Once upon a time, and not so very long ago, I was a worrier. I worried that I worried too much, and I worried that I didn't worry enough. Though it was occasionally mitigated by hypomania, I had it bad. In fact, I was so riddled with anxiety that it was nearly impossible for me to speak to any group, no matter how small or familiar it might be. Thankfully, my journey into joy changed all of that. Mind, I sometimes still hear the faint murmuring of anxiety within me, but I deny it the energy that it needs to control me. With that preamble out of the way, allow me to share my tale of transformation, and it begins with a song. Always chokes me up, and I sing it badly.
Somewhere over the rainbow, bluebirds fly. Birds fly over the rainbow, why then, oh why can't I?
I first heard Judy Garland sing those words as Dorothy Gale in the 1939 film Wizard of Oz. Dorothy has been told by Auntie Em to go and find some place where you won't get in any trouble. Shortly thereafter, Dorothy muses to her rambunctious little dog, "Some place where there isn't any trouble? Do you suppose there really is such a place, Toto? There must be." And then she breaks into that beautiful song. Somewhere Over the Rainbow speaks to the melancholy in which so many of us so often find ourselves. It also reminds us how we instinctively know, or at least hope, that there is a place somewhere and some when in which we can be happy. How about you? Can you remember some dark moment in your life that longing for a land that you heard of once in a lullaby? In a letter to Harold Arlen, the song's composer, Miss Garland wrote, "Over the rainbow has become part of my life. It's so symbolic of everybody's dreams that I can't remember a dent. Wait a minute. It's so symbolic of everybody's dreams and wishes that I'm sure that it's why some people get tears in their eyes when they hear it, like me. I must confess, I was one of those teary-eyed dreamers, and I can remember identifying with Dorothy's never-ending search for happiness. Somewhere over the rainbow, and longing for a world of wonder and brilliance instead of shades of gray in which I was living. Though I much prefer the book, I applaud the moral of the movie. It is not the situation in which you find yourself that is important. It's how you choose to look at it that matters. Just like Dorothy, we all can find joy in the most unlikely of places if we sincerely are willing to look." Before I could tell you about my own journey into joy, however, I first need to try to answer an important question. Is joy and happiness the same thing? Happiness, as defined by dictionary.com, is a quality or state of being happy. It is good fortune, pleasure, contentment, joy. As you might suspect, many of the definitions that I found for happiness link the word with joy. In fact, it is commonplace to treat happiness and joy as synonymous terms. Originally, however, a majority of European words for happy had the meaning of lucky. For instance, the word hap, as in happen circumstance, comes from Middle English, and it's the meaning of chance or fortune, and the word happy meant lucky. An example of this is the phrase happy as a clam, which dates back to the early 1600s. Originally the phrase was happy as a clam in the mud at high tide when it can't be dug up and eaten. Yeah. Is anyone surprised they shortened that one? Essentially, the word happy implies a lucky or fortunate situation, and that leads to the feeling and showing or expressing of joy. Thus, the aforementioned happy clam expresses joy as a result of a particular situation, in this case, a non-event. Specifically, it is pleased at its good fortune for not having been invited to the clam bake. If, as I suggest, happiness is a temporary expression of joy, then what is joy? In English, we acquired the word from the early 13th century French joie, meaning feeling of pleasure and delight. Personally, I think of joy in the terms of one of Plato's forms. That is, it is an intangible divine ideal from which earthly concepts manifest. As such, joy would be a vast ethereal plane to which we have ephemeral access, usually through events which we perceive to be lucky or fortunate. The Christian website Awakening states it this way: "The happiness that lasts is never found because it is actually impossible to get happy and stay happy. If life is based on obtaining happiness, then we will always fall short because life is always changing as the will turns. It is far better to seek joy. Joy is related to happiness, but it is a deeper experience. In the search for happiness, the individual focuses upon himself, but joy moves a person out of the self-centered preoccupation and provides an orientation toward others. Joy is the experience which connects us to that which is greater than we are. It connects us to the creative power that is more than the I or the ego." The definition is very similar to the Zen teachings of Charlotte Joko Beck, the author of Nothing Special, Living Zen, which our book group read in 2011. Joko said, "Body tension will always be present if our good feelings is just ordinary, self-serving, self-centered happiness. Joy has no tension in it because joy accepts what is. As I prefer to phrase it, happiness is situation dependent and joy is a state of being. Put another way, happy people brush against joy while joyous people live within it. For me, joy is the divine embrace. I believe that we are so deeply loved by that which created us, whether you call it God or nature or whatever, and that if we surrender to love, we can know nothing but joy, even in sad moments and in hardship. Clearly, having such a lofty definition of joy predicates that practicing joy must be a part of one's spiritual journey. For me, it is. And joy is a never-ending process of becoming. And it is firmly situated within this glorious, eternal moment, which is the magnanimous now. This is when many of my friends would roll their eyes and say, "Oh no, he's talking again." It might help to understand that I believe in a spherical reality, that we are always in the here and the now. For me, then and there are simply well-constructed illusions. Nevertheless, for the benefit of those of you who insist in believing that time is linear, and you know who you are, let me pretend to follow those precepts and explain my journey in your terms. For years, I have been contemplating embracing a happiness project. In mundane terms, the problem that prevented me from trying it earlier was that I thought it'd be too difficult. After all, anyone can be happy for any finite period of time, however prolonged or short that might be, but happiness always ends. Often it ends in anguish. All that changed for me on the morning of 2010, October 10. 10, 10, 10. That's an interesting creation. That was a Sunday morning, and I was up early, having spent a long, dark night full of torment and wretchedness. Ill health, disheartening personal relationships, and numerous other difficulties finally had gotten the best of me. I was completely defeated, and I was ready to surrender. My philosophical search for the good life had failed miserably. My addiction to anxiety had led me to unmitigated despair. I could no longer find even the slightest hint of happiness in the world. No fix, no hope. I had finally hit bottom. That fateful morning, I decided I would hide myself away from my friends and my family, I'd quit my congregation, and I would ask my doctor for anxiety medication. Finally, I would have to admit defeat. Or I could try that silly happiness project over which I'd been ruminating non-committally for some time. Simply put, desperation had put me to a point where I no longer had anything to lose. So I played my favorite coping game, which I call the worst case scenario. If I failed and things continued to grow even more unbearable, then I would be seeing my doctor in a couple of weeks anyway. So then I would ask for pharmacological assistance. So why not try it? At least I would know once and for all if I could actually create my own reality through conscious choice rather than simply creating it by default. Besides, I deeply believe in that premise, and I needed to see it manifest. You may have noticed that when I started this practice, I referred to it as my happiness project. I did this because I began by deliberately focusing on being happy. However, I did not choose a happy memory, I chose a happy feeling. I would focus upon this feeling whenever I caught myself straying into an unhappy moment. Essentially, I became mindful of happiness, in happiness in which I was dwelling. This is why the distinction of focusing upon a feeling rather than an event becomes important. Situations make us happy, but joy is the underlying state to which that happiness connects. In spite of the evidence of my increased joy, many of my friends repeatedly warned me that I was doomed for failure. Had I been reaching for happiness, which is dualistically infused instead of joy, I would have failed. Dualism requires a balance. That is, for every moment of happiness, theoretically, I would need an equal portion of unhappiness. Fortunately, joy is not dualistic. It is an expression of the divine, like warmth, like light, like love. In truth, they have no opposites, of which balance is required. They only have degrees of being known and embraced. So-called despair, Coldness, darkness, and even hate are not truly opposites. Instead, they are absences of joy, of warmth, of light, of love. They are states in which we have chosen not to embrace our creations fully and responsibly. Of course, nothing can be separated from all that is, but we can deny our divine nature and construct imaginary walls around us, which gives us the comfort illusion of aloneness. On that auspicious October morning, I decided the time had come to dissolve those walls. I let them evaporate into the great mysterious possibility from which they had came. And at last I felt the joy and embraced that, unbeknownst to me that I had had it all along. I was instantly healed, not completely, though absolutely enough that it was noticeably transfigured. As for my journey into joy, it continues, and I expanded the parameters of my appreciation of life. I deliberately remind myself to be grateful of my blessings and to remember that the divine dwells in everything, no matter how great or how small. Perhaps most importantly, I learned to love myself in the process. Yes, I can even love that deluded old fart who thinks he's still adorable and cute, even if some mirrors would have him believe otherwise. Gotta love those silly mirrors. So if you are unhappy and you want to find joy, here are some things you need to stop doing immediately. Stop trying to make things perfect. Stop holding on to the past, especially old grudges. Stop letting others bring you down to their level. Stop complaining and feeling sorry for yourself. Stop focusing on what you do not want to happen. Stop being jealous of others. Stop blaming other people for your troubles. Stop looking to others for your happiness. Stop wasting time explaining yourself to others. And stop trying to be someone you are not. Better yet, be mindful of the beauty in small moments. Feel the joy therein. And that joyful vibration will attract more joyful moments. It's simple physics, like energies attract. If I forget to be mindful of my joy and doubt arises within me, whispering in my ear that I am no one special, asking me who I am to dare to speak my personal truth, I try to remember the wisdom of Marianne Williamson. She said, "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to manifest the glory of God that is within us. It is not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And if, as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give others permission to do the same. And as we are liberated from our fear, our presence automatically liberates others. So, if your life's journey leads you to a place of desperation where you're doubt and fear, will you doubt and fear your own magnificent power? If it leads you to a place where the joy of your divine nature seems like a distant memory, do not forget that you create your own reality. As my mentor Seth Roberts says, the point of power is always in the present. Give yourself permission, therefore, to let your light shine now and always. And remember,
somewhere over the rainbow, skies are blue, and the dreams that you dared to dream really do come true.
Thank you. Do we have any comments? Yes.
I always have a comment.
That's true.
Okay, Ted.
Part of my joy is because I watched it happen.
You did. You were there. Any other? Yes, Helen.
I came to Georgia very reluctantly. I did not like the idea of the South. I did not like the idea of Georgia. I came because my daughter asked me, and I wanted to see my grandson. I have found so much joy in Georgia. I'm just amazed. Amazed. And it's all because of this place.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Alicia?
You said that life attracts life, because that is not universally true. I like to think of joy more as an osmosis situation. The more you exude, the more room you have for it to come in. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Well, you do create your own reality, so that's absolutely the case.
I remember.
Okay.
Don't pay too much attention to the news. News is a joy killer.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
At the same time, though, it's important to be.
Well, live your own life, but don't.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. My mentor Seth goes into that a great deal. Yeah. Yes.
Good. I just have one thing to say.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. I'm going to cancel my appointment with the psychologist next week. It was just a joke.
That's your creation, okay? Thank you. Any other comments? Okay. That was easy.